Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. I'm JT. My co-host, Leanne Whippen, Hall of Famer that she is on special assignment this week. And we would like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, which we will be talking about in a few minutes. Beef the way nature intended. Check them out at PaintedHillsBeef.com. And also the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission, from sea to plate. And you know what? That's a hell of a combination. If you get a ribeye from Painted Hills and about a half a pound of Dungeness crab, you're in heaven. Anyway, just my thoughts. Well, I wanted to welcome back the COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. Will Homer has been on the show many, many times. Will is a good friend, and there's a lot going on out there. So how you holding up there, big cowboy?
I'm just barely holding on. Yeah, just barely holding on.
For people who are going to watch the video of this show, is that your dry age room?
This is a partner we work with in Seattle who has a relatively large dry age room. A lot of this beef you see behind us will go to a place called El Gaucho's we've all heard of. So it's not all my beef, though, but it looks pretty and it smells wonderful in there. It makes you hungry. And they've got all kinds of things, from ribeyes, strip loins. They even have bellies in there that they grind, which, whatever, we all do our own thing, you know? Yeah. So, they got a little bit of everything in there.
What are they grinding them up for?
For dry aged ground beef.
Oh, really?
They blend it in with regular ground beef so that they're trying to create that wild flavor. Every dry age room has its own sense of life, I guess. I don't know. I've seen dry age from everything from this, which is really nice, fancy dehumidifiers and temperature gauges and wind vanes and everything in here, right down to just a regular old warehouse where they put up some foam sheeting and a black light and said, here, this is our dry age room. You know, everything in between. It's whatever you want to sell. Beef is extremely durable. So you just, it gets nice and black, like you see back up in here, you know, like this. And they just trim that black off and sell you the steak inside. And it's delicious because it's pre-digested and it's and it breaks down wonderful. Now, most people wouldn't eat the black stuff on the outside, but what I'm telling you is over here on this other side with the bellies, they're grinding the black part on the outside into the ground beef to make it unique. And that, there's just lots of games played to try and make that hamburger special and unique. I don't think anybody's really hit the, well, except me, of course. I hit the magic mark because I sell ground beef to guys who sell it and they think I'm magic. They think oh my God, it's the best thing we've ever done is go to your ground beef. And it's just about the way we raise cattle. We don't play these kind of crazy games. So,
yeah, no, I get it. I did. I can't even remember the name of the market, a beef shop in Manhattan, and Martha Stewart shop there and all that. And, they sent me a cookbook and stuff. This was many years ago. And theirs was all cedar lined. And of course in Manhattan, this is before inflation and all the stuff everybody's dealing with now. This was, you know, 8-10 years ago. And they were selling ribeye steaks at 38, 40 bucks a pound back then, because it was dry aged in their special room.
Yes. You know, yes. Like yes. That.
So
yes. Yes.
There's something to it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a patient kind of guy, you know, yeah. where, you know, if you sent me a rib roast and I would put it in my dry aged room, which is where I store my golf clubs and, leave it there for a month or whatever, then, I don't have the patience. And to me, it's, you know, the end process, I guess, is worth it, but I don't want to be in the middle.
Well, I have the week. I have this terrible weakness of just being in hurry, being in business, doing work all the time. And I have never been to this place where they serve this $100 plate.
Right.
You know, I've never been to a place that had a $100 ribeye steak and then you buy the potato extra. You would think in the industry where I am and what I do, you'd think I'd know where all those are. And I have never been to any of them. I don't know where any of them are. I've been in these rooms and seen this beef, but I've never been to a place like that.
I can tell you where one of them is, that Michael Jordan's restaurant in the Alinea Casino up in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Because they don't even put the steak prices on the menu outside. They don't even put, you know, market value or what are MVs or whatever, you know, little initial. They just leave it. It's just like you pay, you know. They did put prices, I think, when my wife and I were there a few years ago, and on their top sirloin steak.
Yeah.
And that was $80.
Yeah. Wow.
So take it there. But next time you're coming through on this side of the mountain, go up there and take a look.
Well, I happened to just drive by there just last Friday, but I didn't have time to stop. I tried to get Gabrielle to stop. Hey, let's go there for dinner. But I wasn't as interested. I wasn't dressed for the occasion.
Do you have your high top boots, pair of shorts, and a cowboy hat on with t-shirt?
My sandals and my shorts. Yeah, exactly. We went to a place in Kelso that I fit in, so it was okay.
There you go. So what's going on in the beef business?
Oh my goodness. Nobody really knows. We think beef sells. It's selling. It seems expensive to the consumer, but it's not paying the bills. So I don't know. It's a weird place to be right now. Nobody wants to give up their market share and overprice the beef or price it where it needs to be. And so it's a weird. I can't tell you, Jeff. I don't know. And the big scale of things and our scale of things, it's a tough sell to sell high quality, high end beef for enough money to pay for the steer. It just is. So I don't know what to tell you. I went to a demo in Astoria this week with a store group that was happy to have their 50th anniversary, and it was great. Customers, we gave away hot dogs and we gave away brats and we gave away, I gave out beef samples, you know, and everybody just all over the sample. What a wonderful thing. And the store bent over backwards. I bent over backwards and gave them an excellent price. And they bent over backwards and gave the consumer an excellent price. Doesn't pay the bills for anything. So now we hope that they remember that when they go back in there to buy hamburger in a month, you know. And
right.
I don't know. It's a weird world.
I still think that we're being and you and I have talked about this personally many times, but I still think we're getting hit with outside influences that nobody can pinpoint just yet. Not some big conspiracy theory, not that stuff. I'm just saying that there's our national, our regional, and international economies now are so intertwined. They're so overlapping and stuff that, you know, because we talk about the cost of goods going up, the cost of producing or manufacturing.
Yeah.
And oil is up, fuel is up, corn is up, you know, and I'm just throwing out some examples there, but there are influences in other parts of the world that the consumer in the U.S. doesn't see. All they see is last year I bought this can of corn for 97 cents and this year it's $1.79. made up numbers, of course. But I still think that they were being influenced by things we can't see in the economy. Eventually, it'll shake out to where we see what has happened. But right now, with everything in flux and, you know, markets up and down and sideways and this and that, you know, I don't think you can pinpoint it really.
I don't know. It's tough. I tell you, I don't want to sound like I'm throwing mud at my retail partner, because I need my retail partner and everything. But they have to compute their I've used the term 1,000 times and now it's going to get away from me. Comparables. They've compute their comparables to last year, and that's all they have to work with. And so, but their margin is 30-some-odd% to pay the bills. Right. And so when beef is 25%, 20% higher and they get their 30% margin still, that slows the flow. And that slows the flow against an industry that's actually has as much beef as it did last year by tonnage. And it actually has more in the U.S. because exports are still off. And so with those two things, it's broken because there's just as much beef in the system. But yet the cattle cost is 10% higher, 12% higher, some crazy thing. And it wouldn't be a bad thing if my cattle had performed okay and such, but we're dealing with, you know, natural beef, no hormone implants. So we got no performance enhancing drugs to make things grow faster and no antibiotic influence. So that means any cattle that got sick in this long drawn out spring and winter and spring we had, they got kicked out of the program. So those costs are really just clobbering me right in the back of the head. These cattle costs should be paying the bills in the background, and they're not. So there's just a ton of things that are just really whooping us.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to take a break here with all this cheery discussion about the cost of steaks. And we'll be back with Will Homer from Painted Hills right after this. Don't go away. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, and today we're talking with Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef. We usually talk to Will 3 or 4 times a year, and I've been a champion of Painted Hills for a long time. If you've never had it, get it. Don't steal it. Just get it. Buy it. I think you'll be surprised at the quality of that. So now I'm going to ask you... And we're not going to get off in the weeds, because we talked about this before, but you and I are not going to get off, in the weeds on this. How much do you think politics, and I don't want to talk about the election or that kind of stuff, but politics affects markets a lot of times when people don't realize it. You know, stuff that goes on in Washington, 99% of we're not privy to. That's just because we don't pay attention to it. It's the information's there if you want to see it, but people are busy in their daily lives. But a political decision in Washington, whether it's by Congress or a commission or the administration, whatever, can affect soybeans, for example, or oil or anything like that. And that has, in Reagan terms, it has a trickle-down effect in the economy. So is there anything you see that when the mood of the country is in great shape, that they eat more beef, they're more willing to buy beef, or when the mood of the country is poor, I don't mean the country's poor, I mean the mood is poor, and the inflation rate gets high and all that stuff. I mean, do you notice those things?
There's a lot of talk about when the economy's up, people have got money to go spend, right? They're going to go out to Mazatlan and they're going to go do all these things. And I don't notice it so much. I have noticed that the TV says we're all broke. And so I am not harvesting nearly the cattle I was. And I am pushing harder to get the beef gone that should be easily gone, because I think that they convince folks that they don't have any money. As far as the political side, the biggest risk we have is export, right? In the United States, our farmers have outgrown ourselves and outgrown our needs years ago and became the breadbasket for the world. And so I can't remember how much of the wheat we export and corn we export, but the pork we export up to around 25%, and beef, we're getting close to 20% of the beef we produce. So now that export business is off, the world supply of beef is plugged up and cheap compared to U.S. beef and this cost of U.S. cattle. That's holding us up here. That's hurting things. And it's funny you bring up what decisions are made in the government. One thing that is going on is that we have years ago, the crooks got shook out of the cattle business. I can't tell you, in the early 1900s, and they created a Packers and Stockyards Act that keeps track of everybody and makes sure there's no cheating going on. And so they've thrown out a suggested change, and they're going to take away the current way the rule is currently written. Is if I have a complaint against a packer, or you have a complaint against a packer, somebody hosed you about buying your cattle and didn't pay you, that you have the proper tools to get paid. They want to change some wording so that now it can read, if they feel there was some unfair practices, they get to sue you. And the problem with that is that not very many people know how this business works.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy for me to run out and say, Chevrolet's screwing me. I'm not paying $60,000 for a diesel pickup. They're screwing me. Let's go to court. I'm taking them to court. The same thing happens with people in their food. Well, my God, Cheerios is screwing me. I'm going to take them to court. And what that's doing is opening the door for us in the ag industry to get attacked by interest groups. Because we're always under attack. We're always under some level of attack. There's money in being attacked, right? So there's groups that can go out to the local, to the regular, normal person and say, "Oh my God, the sky is falling. If you give me $25, I'll go destroy the beef industry." And they people hand in their money, not knowing that they walk away with 27, 20, 22, 50 of it, and spend the other on the envelope for the next guy, right? So anyhow, there's always something going on in the government. But back to the consumer, I think the TV, I shouldn't say the TV. Nobody watches TV anymore. They all watch this, right? They all on the internet somehow. So I think they're highly influenced by their purchases, by noise.
Have you ever been to Washington, D.C.?
No.
Okay. When you get away from the Capitol grounds and stuff, there's a place called K Street, which is where all the marketing and political consulting groups and stuff.
Yeah.
And not far from there, there are rows of what you would call brownstones, brick houses. And they're just all the same going down the streets. And in the front, there's by the gate, there's a little brick pillar, and it's got a brass plaque on it. And it says, the committee to protect the blue-eyed wombat in Wheeler County. Okay.
Yeah.
And all those things get funded by government agencies. Now they're not government agencies. They have no capacity to enact laws or anything like that. They're not, but they are basically political PACs who get money from us, Homer and Tracy here.
Yep. Yeah.
To make, at some point, make your life miserable, or make the guy who grows soybeans miserable. You don't like that. And that's something that, you know, we all say, well, that has to change. Well, I'm not sure you can change it, but I think people have to be more aware of it, because nobody really has the right idea about how much money goes through Washington, how much is influence peddling, which is huge.
And
all of that. And that's what you're talking about. And opening that door to be able to do litigation is that's going to be a tough deal.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're not going to get off in the weeds in that too much, but that's kind of the way it is. Anyway, Will and I are going to be back in a minute on Barbecue Nation. Excuse me for clearing my throat here. And we're going to talk more about the cattle business. All right. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. Leanne is on assignment this week, and we'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, who you're looking at one of them right now. Beef the way nature intended. Also, the Oregon Dungeness Crab Commission, from sea to plate. We've been doing a lot of work with the crab people over the last year, especially on the golf show. Like I said, if you get a ribeye steak from Painted Hills and an 8-ounce crab cocktail, you're good. You're good. That's the only thing I'm going to say. And also pig powder. That's Leanne's family's world championship barbecue rub there, but you can use it on anything. Go to pigpowder.com.
It's so like delicious.
It is. It's wonderful. Yeah. The one I was going to send you for Christmas, I actually took it out of the package and used it. I have to wait for the next shipment.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking with Will Homer, COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. You know, with Painted Hills, you're in a small community of Fossil.
Yeah.
I think you're the largest employer there.
I don't know. We've kind of shrunk. So the school probably beats us now, probably.
How about private employer?
Private employer.
I'm not sure that people realize, especially people that live in larger metropolitan areas, Portland, Seattle, LA, when things like this happen, it affects people directly in these small communities.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can't keep as many people on the payroll as you'd like to.
Yeah. But we still got to get it all done. Yeah. So we're working at it.
Yeah. It doesn't suck. So let's jump to a happier note here. if I can find one.
Well, beef's good. It eats good. It tastes good.
Yeah.
It fits on your barbecue grill, you know. You don't have to not eat it because it's expensive. You just need to eat it a little less, and it doesn't take very much. And our system will be flush with beef, and there'll be plenty to go around, and the price will all come kind of down again. But really, they shouldn't. It really is just, you know, we all go back to prior to COVID. Sorry, Jeff, I run off here on you, but
that's okay.
You know, our food, what was it? Our food budget was a rounding error in our budget. Right. When it was announced, most common folks, it's 17% of their budget. So now their food bill is 30% higher. Doesn't mean it's 30% of your budget. It's 30% higher than 17%.
Right.
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 So now it's in the 20s. All right. Well, okay. Be smart. But that doesn't mean that it's wrecked you.
No, that, you know, we all have to pay attention to the numbers. So maybe that's two less movies you rent on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something like that at $25 a pop or whatever they are. You know,
no kidding.
So that, what are you seeing the, you know, the sirloins and the rounds and stuff still moving out the door? Because when we're, you know, the picture behind you is all rib roasts and stuff, and those, that's the top of the line there, really,
right,
for most people. And but are you seeing, and the hamburger and stuff, is that still holding solid?
Well, it's all seasonal. It's like I was serving New York strips last weekend, right? And they were on special for $14.99 retail. That was a great price. Probably sold them to the store at 11 something, which is a great price. I'll sell a strip loin today wholesale to a grocer somewhere in the $14-$15 range from 2 weeks before Memorial weekend through the 4th of July, maybe Father's Day, 4th of July. Then once that's over, then they go right back down to where they spend the rest of the year. If I get $8, $8.50 for them, I'm in high cotton. Now, doesn't mean I'm in high cotton, I'm paying the bills. It just means I'm doing better than $6.
Right.
So, but that's the kind of meat, that's the kind of beef, that's what beef does. It has seasonality. So right now, yes, the rounds are actually selling, which is a little strange for this time of year. Probably outselling some of these other items, but they are, these things are getting expensive, right? And in my world, in a lot of beef world, in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, and again, remember I talked about comparables.
Right.
In the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, as we talked about the COVID money, and everybody spent their COVID money on a Traeger, and then they spent it on beef, they drove the value of these ribs through the roof. And so we're all trying to learn to take value out of these ribs and turn them into something else. So
are you having trouble like keeping, you know, briskets in? I mean, you talk about the barbecue people, briskets are the king of the barbecue stuff.
I made a deal for briskets with an outside sale that's kind of burning those up. But yeah, there would be problem if I was just working locally in my grocery stores, I'd have too many briskets. So yeah. I had to make a deal that's kind of burning them up on the outside. And strangely enough, I kind of came out okay on that deal. So
yeah. Is that the full packers or is that just the flats?
The big ones. Yeah.
The big ones. Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well, and what about beef ribs? I actually had somebody call me the other day, a friend of mine, and said, where the hell can you find beef ribs? He goes, I go to my local store and there's no rib, not the rib eye, just the ribs like that.
The beef rib is the best thing to do is find a local butcher that will peel the ribs off the rib eye themselves for you, because the packer has learned to knife those ribs out. So they make a woo-woo-woo-woo-woo through the, and they leave the meat on the rib eye.
Right.
And so we sell back ribs for $2 a pound and we sell ribeyes for $15 a pound. I want as much meat as I can on the ribeye. So the back ribs that I get from a plant, I can get them, but they're not very good. There's no meat on them.
Right.
You need to go to somebody who peels them themselves, who they basically, I don't want to say they don't have the skill to do that because they don't want to do that. They don't need to do that because also in the retail facility, if they can peel the bone off with some fat on it and sell it for $5.99 or $7.99 or something, they got more money in it than a packer that can only sell it for $2.99.
Right.
So that's how you find the backers, but you got to hunt for them. Yes. They don't exist in used to be that you could, like a group, like when we work with the Ross group, they'd do the springtime back ribs and we'd stock up back ribs truckloads and they'd sell them for $1.99 because we had $1.99 into them or something. But now,
right.
And the downside was the customer really never made out with anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know a couple guys that, one restaurant in particular up in Vancouver, it's a barbecue joint. and they did, I haven't talked to them in a couple of years, but they got their ribs out of an actual butcher in Spokane.
Yeah.
You know, which is what, 200 miles away.
Yeah.
But that guy would cut the ribs, like I said. And when you go in there, you think you're doing a Fred Flintstone deal with all this meat on this, and you get like three ribs on a plate or something. And, cause he would cut them right. And then they cut them in, you know, three rib sections, whatever.
Well, it could be you're doing short ribs. See now, so what is a whole pig, right? You take the whole side of a hog, right? And you buy those down at your local discount, whatever, right, is actually three different codes when it comes to a beef. And I'm talking about what would be the baby backs, the back ribs up underneath the ribeye.
Right.
I think of those ribs. But then there's also below those is a 123A, a 123A short ribs, got three ribs on it. That is the extension of you. We're all aware of the Fred Flintstone tomahawk, right?
Right, right, right.
Well, that is the bone. The extension of that bone is the short rib. So I can get that code, but those are the ones they saw into those. Do they call it flanken style, or they call it shingled or whatever for like a Wajimaya and the Korean short rib style?
Right.
So they've gotten. They've gotten worth a lot of money in the last 5 years too. So
I can remember
some of those out in the freezer right now. Cause I want to make, ever since you mentioned the Fred Flintstone, I brought them here so I could get some on my barbecue.
Well, I remember when I first started cooking on TV, and then 2-3 years later, I met you guys, and I used to do flanken ribs a lot. Those, you know, the in little trim, they just look like trim like that.
Yeah.
But you could buy a whole package of those for $8. Can't do that now. But
yeah.
And they're great to chew on. You know, they will make a meal if you cook enough of them like that. Yeah. But they're no longer.
Yeah, that's the back rib. If there's not much meat on them, that's the baby, what would be the baby back or
right.
Yeah.
Right. But my point is, people, the retailers used to just trim them off and kind of get rid of them. And now there's such a demand for them, for people. I don't know why they became stylish, because like you said, there's not much meat on them. You got to cook about six of them to feel like you ate something.
Yeah.
And you'd get those big packages of them. And now you see them and there's like five of those strips in a package, and it's $18-$20.
Yeah.
You know, like that. So the one thing I'm impressed with actually is, from when I first started paying attention to this stuff years and years and years ago, the beef industry now utilizes more of the steer. There's not as much just getting either thrown away or cut up into grind or ground up into grind or hamburger. They're utilizing everything.
So
there's not too much left. Anyway, we're going to take another break, and we're going to talk some more about this when we come back with Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, Insta, whatever Insta is, Instapot, and all that. So you can do that and send us a, just go info@barbecuenationjt.com if you want to send in a question. Anyway, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever's at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us. Check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Will Homer. Leanne is on special assignment. Next week, we've got Megan from Burnt Fingers Barbecue is going to be talking about their recent victory, plural, with the Burnt Fingers crew up there. So let's get back and talk with Will Homer. Do you see a light at the end of the tunnel that's not the oncoming train?
Well, which aspect?
I think overall on the beef industry and for the consumer.
I think the consumer side, I don't know. You know, it needs to know that all the labels that it's seen come out over the past 5 years, the grass feds and the this's and the that's, they're going to get weeded down. We're going to find out who's the strong and who can survive. And I heard of some others that actually quit some time ago. And we're going to see some of that happen. Beef's going to stay high. It really is not. I've said for years, we don't pay enough for it. And that's what gave us room to operate. That's what gave Painted Hills room to grow and become something different. And we are a different item, you know. I mean, we are definitely not something that you put in a room full of meat and have samplings and you can't find it. You find it. It's different. And
right.
And so I hope that it stands out from that. And then back to the packing side, you know, they're in the squeeze. They got creating the same amount of beef and they got a much higher cost of inputs, not the people, well, the people and the things like that, but the cattle themselves cost more. And so we're in a world where, you know, I just read a headline the other day, the government's going to give away another $110 million for these packing houses and these little regional guys and things. And that's tough. That's going to be tough. And I think it's going to be tough enough that we're going to get some real news from some of these majors before it's over with that they're going to take some time off or something. So that's tough on them. And then that'll bounce back and push against the ranch, the cattleman, let's call him a cattleman, the guy who assembles the cattle and typically owns more than just one ranch worth of cattle and has them on feed and stuff. He's got to have a break. He's the one who's invested in these calves and paying, you know, he's getting a little break on the corn costs and the winter and summer's been good. We're going to grow lots of corn in the U.S. because the weather's been great. And I'm sure there's some regional people out there that just think I'm nuts, but then the cow calf guy, he's got quite a kicker check here last year. And then again, this year it's looking good for him and he won't want to give any of it up. But he's either going to have to give it up or he's going to keep cattle at home. And this has always been my contention. And I tell these cattle guys this and they look at me sideways and I say, look, you don't know how to pay taxes. You ain't never paid taxes. You always have a fence or a baler or a tractor or some damn thing to make sure you don't pay taxes. And so when it comes time to sell the next round of calves and then make an extra $500 a head, and the income guy and the tax guy at the end of the year says, you're going to pay taxes. He's going to say, no, I'm not. I'm going to keep the heifers and I'm going to go buy some hay. And that grows the herd and that starts the rebuilding process. Yeah. And that's what's going to happen. But it's going to be a slow grind. We've got to find a new place in beef and we're going to kick the cattlemen back down in the dungeon where they've always been. That's really what's going to happen, which sucks. It's all bad. It's all bad business. But I don't know how the hell to make it all work together. It's a commodity, just like all of them are. Look at the cotton guy. I think cotton is 70 cents a unit, whatever that is. Is it a pound, a ton, a whatever it is? Why, hell, it was $15 or something not that long ago. It was off the chart 2 years ago. So it's just a commodity. It's just agriculture. That's what we do to ourselves.
Yeah, you talk about cotton. Try to go find a pair of Wranglers for under $20.
Oh no, it doesn't exist. No,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
No.
And it's all cotton.
I've moved to the cheap stuff. Yeah, I've moved to the cheaper stuff, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to save money. But, geez, I got to remind myself that $65 for a pair of jeans is cheap.
You know,
that's stupid.
Years ago when I was in Brazil one time, and we had a break, and they took me to this mall, just like, you know, anything around Portland or Chicago or whatever. And they took me to this mall, right? And I'm walking in there, and I saw they would have a price, and it was, of course, in reals, their currency. And then it would say, there was right underneath it. So let's say it said 3,422.
Yeah.
And they'd put an R behind it for reals. Yep. Okay. And then below it, they would say 1,173 times three. And I couldn't figure out what that was. And so I asked the guy who was showing me around, I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, with inflation and stuff down here, which South America has always been battling that for as long as I can remember. He said, everything is on a payment plan here. So if you want to buy that pair of jeans, it's three payments of 1,170, whatever I said, reals. And then you can take the jeans home.
I was going to say, how the hell did they get second payment?
Yeah. Well, they hold on to them.
Oh my God.
But that's the way it is. And so, I mean, that wasn't any hard goods that you saw.
Wow.
I never looked at automobiles or anything, but just stuff you would go at a toaster, a radio, whatever, even cell phones. With cell phones, I think they let them taken because they can always just turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, they can turn that off and your cell phone becomes worthless. But the point is they had that built into their pricing system.
Wow.
For hard goods. And I thought that was, it was so foreign to me. I didn't understand it till a few years later when I got home and was thinking about it, that because the general population can't keep up down there. I don't know how it is there because it's been 20 years or more since I've been down there, but it was just shocked me. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see at some point some system, not exactly like that, but similar to that here in this country, because you do see it. Like even if you buy something on Amazon, they've got a payment plan. You know, you can pay for it over 4 months, $74 a month.
What happened to all those cash your check early places?
Are they still
there?
I haven't seen one a long time because
they used to be thick, you know, and I don't have to look that up. I don't find out what that scam was. But anyhow, you're right. Make payments craziness. This is just farming money from people. But that was back when there was no interest, right?
Right.
So when there was no interest, I could borrow money from the bank and 0% or 1% interest, and I could buy your pair of jeans for you and get you to pay me 3% interest or 5% interest.
Right.
Boy, this is, I shouldn't be in the meat business.
You can be Wheeler County's loan shark over there, buddy. Will Homer from Painted Hills Natural Beef. It's always a pleasure. Will's going to stick around for after hours, but.
Oh, goodness.
But it's that time. And we're going to just continue this conversation, trying to keep it on track today. Will and I both agreed that we tend to get. You ever see one of those clover leaf deals on an LA freeway from the air? You know, that's kind of like the way our conversations work. Anyway, we're going to get out of here. Will, thank you. Like I said, Megan from Burnt Fingers is going to be with us next week. So remember our motto here, turn it, don't burn it. Go out, have some fun, cook something, and most of all, be kind. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.